Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That scriptures, or those scriptures, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this program is about those scriptures. Those scriptures were foundational to the way that this nation thought, particularly as a culture, at its conception or at its founding. And that is referred to, that way of thinking, as a paradigm or a way of thinking. God says, "My ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, my paradigm, my way of thinking, is not your paradigm, your way of thinking. And it's important to understand this because the scriptures warn us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. You notice that when Jesus confronted Peter, remember the first time he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter's response was a way of thinking. It's referred to as a patriarchal paradigm. And it's a way of thinking of knowing. His response was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response to Peter was, "Peter, this didn't come from you. This came from my Father." Now, Jesus understood the Father because what he said, "What my Father commands, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Now, that is referred to as a patriarchal paradigm. It's top down. The Father commands, the children obey. And we find that in the first part of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't trust in yourself. The Bible is very clear. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. And the first man we trust in is ourself. And if we trust in ourselves, then we're selfish. And the patriarchal paradigm would come in and say, no, you have to get self under control. We have self-control, self-discipline. In other words, discipline yourself. Biblically, it's humble yourself or deny yourself. It's not a destruction of self. Itself has function, but it is under authority. And you have to bring it under authority. You have to bring it under control. God never holds you, he never holds self accountable for your behavior. He holds you accountable because you didn't get yourself under control. That's what parents do. They chasten you. They go after your flesh. If you can't get control over your flesh, they will get control over you through your flesh until you learn to control your flesh for yourself. Either they're going to do it at first with the hopes that eventually you would catch on and do it for yourself. Now, that patriarchal paradigm, according to the dialectical process, this program's about diaprax, so the dialectic process and the practice of it, or diaprax, praxis meaning practice, and it's pretty much what we have become as a culture. We've rejected our foundation that blessed this nation. Other words, trusting the Lord with all our heart. It's not that this is a righteous nation, but that it was a nation with men and women who feared God. And they trusted in the Lord with their heart, not in themselves, not in men. And that really permeated the way we were structured as a government. Don't trust man, therefore man's in government, so therefore you have to put limits and balances, checks and balances on government. Break the branches up. And you have to be vigilant. Well, today, there is no vigilance, per se. It is simply trusting in men. Somebody comes along, speaks the right words, everybody says amen, and they follow the man without checking him. Again, Jesus said, the scripture is very clear that we are to take captive every thought, captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the obedience of Christ is a pattern. It's a patriarchal pattern. We weigh everything according to God's word. But the dialectic is a different paradigm. It's not patriarch, it's heresiarch. You've heard the word change. Well, that's heresy. Change for change's sake. And this all ties to leaning to your own understanding. You know, anytime you've been given a command, this is the way things are. And you go out into the world and you find that by perception, you're going to get in trouble with, say, the village if you keep holding to the way that you're taught this is the way things are. Because you're taught in an environment of there and then. Okay? You're going to study there and then, back there, and you're going to memorize back then, back there information to prepare you for there and then ahead, future, there in the future, and then in the future, a place and a time and a future. And so the past is carried into the present and prepares you for the future. That's a patriarchal paradigm. That's pretty much what God did with the children of Israel. After they went through the Red Sea and they went through their experience, all their murmuring against God and all the response that God had towards them, they were to inculcate to their children what happened back then and there and to raise them up to prepare them for then and there of the future, to live properly in the promised land before God. In other words, God is established. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is truth. It doesn't change. It is eternal. And it speaks to your soul. Your soul is eternal. You see the correlation. Now, the dialectic process rejects that. The heresiarchal paradigm rejects that. Karl Marx said, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, the former must be annihilated both in theory and in practice. That's Marx's Feuerbach thesis number 4. Now, what he meant was, once that traditional home that chastens their children, now, there is no right to chasten. Now, that's the right of the child, by the way. You don't have the right, as Paulo Freire, he passed away a few years ago, but he is a popular source for education today. He says, you do not have the right to interfere with a child's natural inquiry into the world, into the environment. And to carry a system that prevents a child from natural inquiry into the environment, into the world, should be treated as a criminal act. Well, see, that is anathema to memorizing and applying your life to what you have learned from the past that prevents you from participating with whatever the world is throwing at you in the present. And this is the rhetoric. This is the foundation. As Bloom's taxonomy, I constantly bring this material up because your local teacher, every teacher in this nation who is certified, is trained to apply Bloom's taxonomies, his classifying system, and I'm explaining this system by explaining the dialectical process. In the classroom, in development of the curriculum, whoever controls the curriculum, remember the classes you took, the way they were presented, the way the information was presented, how it was presented. You know, people say, well, they and them. It's not an issue of they and them. You can figure out who they are by the how, see, the method. And it's important that you understand the method, because the method used in the classroom will determine how the next generation will think. The curriculum used in the classroom will determine the next paradigm, the next system that is used in dealing with problems in this life. Now, we find the conflict of these paradigms as patriarchal versus heresiarchal in when Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land to check it out. They were simply to come back with a report of data, not by perception, because already the statement is, we're going to go in, we're going to take over that land in the name of the Lord, as God had commanded. It was a command from God. But 10, by perception, leaning to their own understanding, in their own understanding, God didn't make sense because it was too big a project. And so they were not a men of faith. They were a men of sight. And they came back and they murmured. And it was because of that murmuring, the children of Israel spent 40 years of their life walking in the wilderness, not in the promised land, but in the wilderness, dying. And only their children except for Joshua and Caleb, entered into the promised land because they had rejected a patriarchal paradigm. They had moved to a heresiarchal paradigm, which is tied to the here and now. The here and now determines whether the there and then is of any worth. So whether it was Moses or any man of God giving a statement, you know, do this and then this will happen, if their statement, which was given, say, yesterday, in the current situation doesn't make sense, now you have a choice to make. Are you going to hold by faith to the statement and practice a patriarchal paradigm, be held accountable to higher authority? Now, there's a trickery in the dialectic. It doesn't see above and below. It wants to destroy above and below. See, my ways are not your ways, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth. See, light, dark, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Contrast, which is spirit versus flesh. The dialectic has to negate the spirit. Now, it will talk about spirit, but it redefines spirit to the creation. And therein, everything's on a continuum, a spectrum, a taxonomy. See, from the small cell to the complex cell, there's a taxonomy. And the same thing applies in the way you think. Now, the lowest order thinking in the taxonomy would be those who have childlike faith. They simply believe in what God said. Now, correlating this with Marx, Marx understood that that traditional home gives children commands. And then it's for that child to learn those commands and to apply themselves to obeying those commands, fulfilling those commands, a top-down system. Now, Marx saw that as the children, because they obey their parents, give power to their parents. Well, there's a few reasons. Number one, the parents are stronger than them, and they do provide food and shelter and protection and love them. And so what, according to the social engineers, that is a substitute for real love, because real love is that child finding identity with the creation. Not with the creator, because the creator comes in like God in the Garden in Eden, of Eden, and he commands that Adam follow rules that counter his nature. Because you see later on, it was Eve, the matriarch, because you go from a patriarch, which is obedience, a thesis, a tradition, this is the way it is, through the matriarch, which is feelings, which is called transition, over to the heresiarch, which is transformation, which is change. And so you move from knowing, God tells you, now you know. The parent tells you, gives you a command, now you know. To feelings where, well, you know what? If I do what my parent says, then what I perceive is that I'm going to lose out with respect with my friends. I'm going to lose out with whatever I want out of the situation. It might cost me, because now you're thinking of yourself. That's transition. Is self is smack dab in the middle of transition. Traditional people, parents are getting control over the self life of the child, getting him to get control of himself. So he will not go to the heresiarch, theorizing, thinking about himself, thinking about his feelings, thinking about everybody else's feelings, and that's where his justification for his behavior is found. Now, I share this program after program because that pattern, that dialectical paradigm, that heresiarchal paradigm is found in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. We find a thesis statement given by God to Adam. And by understanding, just accepting it, Eve had heard that command. She knew. See, Hosea said in chapter 4, verse 6, my people destroyed for lack of knowing. Well, did you come to that knowing, leaning to your own understanding? No. Let's look at what Bloom says in his taxonomy. The cognitive domain. He starts with knowing. Well, there it is. But that's the lowest rung. That's where you start. Somebody tells you. Then there's comprehending. Then there's application, and then analysis, and then synthesis, and then evaluation. That's his taxonomy, from the thesis to the antithesis to the synthesis of the dialectic. But let's look at the thesis first. This is the position that God gave Adam, and through Adam to Eve, a command of this is what you do here, and this is what you do not do here. In other words, do not eat of this tree, you can eat of all the other trees. And so there's a command. He is the author. When you give a command to a child, you are the author. You authored that statement. And then you give conditions, and the conditions then to carry them out means you're the authority. And so God said, do not eat, and that's the author portion. And then he's the authority. He says, if you do, you will die. There's cause and effect. I'm above, you're below. You're under my authority. And so we find that thesis, patriarchal paradigm given to Adam. Now, Satan approached Eve. Satan will not go directly face to face with a patriarch. He tried that with Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? Did he respond with feelings? That's transition, or did he respond with his thoughts, his higher order thinking skills, Socratic critical thinking? You know, just a sidebar here. Do you realize that in Roe v. Wade, that the courts rejected a Christian worldview? Now, I don't like using that word worldview, but it's a view of the world from God. And God's view of the world is that life begins at conception. That's a biblical concept. That's a biblical paradigm. Life begins at conception. But they included in their evaluation, and you'll see as we go along, that Eve did the evaluation process. And that's what gets you and me into trouble. We evaluate, see, by our own perception. They turn to a Socratic thought. And Socratic thought says life begins at birth. Do you understand? When the courts did this little dialectical game, they were free from accountability to higher authority. They were bound to the philosophies of the world, and therein everything was a continuum, just a changing process, and anything that did not fit within the change, anything that interfered and blocked the process of change, the process of heresy, was put at the lowest rung. So, oh, it's okay if you want to have a child, but you know what? If you don't want that child, then it's okay as well. Maybe, in fact, you might be a higher order thinker. You're actually of more worth to society. And so it's important to understand the taxonomy, because if you move from a patriarch to the matriarch, and that's where Satan goes, the patriarch is going to keep the matriarch under control. The husband is to rule. Desire of the heart of the wife is to her husband. Boy, is that hated today. Well, it's no wonder. We're in a patriarchal paradigm. And we find in the garden that Adam was the head and then Eve was under him, but Satan doesn't go to Adam as he did with Jesus. Remember, Jesus' response was, it is written, it is written, it is written, because he says, what my Father commands, that's what I do. And he is telling you and me and every soul on the face of the earth, what my Father commands, that's what you do. He who does my Father's will on earth is my brother, sister, and mother. And so it's a top-down paradigm. From Genesis to Revelation, that is God's paradigm. Jesus not once stepped outside of that paradigm. Not once did he go, well, I think I'm going to figure this out on my own, Dad. I don't need your advice. I don't need your commands. See, no. In fact, he has called you and me to obey his commands. But the matriarch is our feelings. And so Satan goes to the feelings, the matriarchal domain. The feelings that you know, you're given a command and then your feelings come in and say, well, you know, I don't feel good about this. You know, it doesn't really look like it's going to turn out in my favor. I'm not going to get what I want. And so when he approaches Eve, he went to the matriarchal paradigm. Now, there's a different structure in men versus women. One of my articles on my website, I go into depth on the difference between women and men and their physiology, or you know, their chemical system. Quickly looking for it. Now, when men are in a stressed environment, they go to fight or flight. It's known fight or flight, and that's adrenaline's involved. And so, when the Bible, by the way, is not a fight or flight. It says, put on the whole armor of God and stand. That's what Jesus did. When you put on the armor of God, you've been given property. You've been given a position. This is the position that God gives you. Hold there. Stay fast. You don't have to run. You don't have to run from or run to. You hold to your position. He's already given you the position. You are victorious in him. Now, when devil comes along, he can't force you to do anything. He can't shove you off your position. He seduces you, deceives you off of your position. He entices you off of your position, and he can't entice you unless there's something in you that draws you into the process of enticement. And we find this within man. There's fight or flight. Now, there is a couple of women, well, I don't know if they were women or men. There's some work. You can get on my website and check it out. But authorityresearch.com, what these people found out was that when women are in a stressed environment, they have a bodily response that's different than men. Quoting the material, tending, this is women, involves nurturant activities designed to protect the self and offspring that promote safety and reduce distress. Befriending, this is attend and befriend, I'm going to get into this. Befriending is the creation and maintenance of social networks that may aid in this process, the process of protection. And they write, when the hormone oxytocin is released, the women release this, when they're under stress, it's different than men. Is released as a part of the stress response in a woman, it buffers the fight or flight response, the masculine reaction, and encourages the woman to tend children and gather with other women instead. When she actively engages in this tending or befriending, studies suggest that more oxytocin is released, which further counters stress and produces a calming effect. This calming response does not occur in men, says Dr. Klein. Lorraine Cousin Klein, PhD, because men, testosterone, which men produce in high levels when they are under stress, seem to reduce the effect of oxytocin. Estrogen, she adds, seems to encourage it, oxytocin, which encourages women to care for children and hang out with other women. Social ties, she says, reduce women's risk of disease by lowering blood pressure, heart rate, and cholesterol, helping women live longer. And so we find that when Satan went to Eve, he went to the tend and befriend nature. When Satan went to Jesus, he ran smack dib into the fight or flight, but Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to run into battle or run from it, just to hold to what God's given you. He holds to what God gave him. And he goes, it is written, it is written, it is written. And so when your child, remember Mark said, once the earthly family, what do you teach your children? The dad says to the child, this is the way it is. Now your child goes out into the community and somebody confronts them. They hold to their position that was given to them by dad. Well, dad says, are you daddy's boy? You know what Jesus' response was? Yes. What my father commands, that's what I do. In fact, he says, you should be daddy's boy too. Whatever, whoever does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. That's a patriarchal paradigm. I'm trying to get this across. You will not find any other paradigm from Scripture that God wants us to praxis. That's it. Period. Now, you're not finding that in the Word of God because, see, when you preach and teach, that's patriarchal. Preaching is foolishness to those of the world. Now, you'll find preaching in the apostate church today, but then they'll get into little groups, and they'll do a Bible study, and they're not studying to show themselves approved unto God, which means you memorize and you apply what you memorized. Jesus said, first temptation, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And he didn't put a footnote in there, say you got to get in a little room and dialogue and bring it down to a consensus so everybody can understand it and feel in harmony with it, and they can use their inductive, deductive reasoning to produce a social outcome so we can all learn to get along with one another. No, he said, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. I'm dividing the father from the son, the mother from the daughter, the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law. He says, call no man father on earth. He's my heavenly father. You obey him just like I obey him. You bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? Obedience to the Father, a patriarchal paradigm. And so you understand what happened in the wilderness when Satan tempted Jesus. He couldn't endure. He left. But he didn't leave with Eve because Eve went to dialogue. And that's why the UN, all of these social forces, they go after the women. They know that the women will break down because their hedge of protection is in their husbands. And if they can intercept the women, Kurt Lewin did this, 1944. He was a Marxist who edited the Frankfurt School's articles in Germany. And then in 1933, when Hitler became chancellor, he left Berlin, came to the United States. He was heading for Stanford, but Iowa picked him up, University of Iowa, I believe, or Iowa State University, picked him up down in Iowa City. And he spent most of his life down there, then went to MIT and then Michigan State University. When he died in 1947, he was working out of there when he set up the first national training lab in Beth. Eventually, it started in Bethel, Maine, that same year, 1947. He's a father of group dynamics. In 44, he worked on Iowa housewives, knowing how to move them from tradition, what my husband says, tradition, the expenses, everything was tied to the past. And he knew how to get them in a room and get them to dialogue how you feel and what you think. And eventually, when they're pushing the cart up and down the aisle, it's no longer what my husband says and budget and tradition and this and that in the basket. They go up to the cash register. That's the gate. They open and close the gate when they pay for it. They're the gatekeepers, and they go home with tradition. No, now because they're in a group and the group is saying, we're going to meet next week. We're going to share our ideas as a group. Eventually, when that wife is going up and down the aisle, she's pulling off groceries and she gets up to the cash register, the gate, and then she goes, oh my, what's the group going to think? Her loyalty is now to the group. Her loyalty is now to the relationship of others. There's that tend and befriend intercepting and cutting off. The desire of her heart is to her husband. See, that's not the church that Jesus is coming for. Jesus is not coming for a church that befriends itself and tends itself to the world, to the group, to society. He's coming for a spotless bride with no wrinkle who will only hold hands and obey and looking forward to the joy of her groom coming, that groom being Jesus Christ of Nazareth and no one else. Not today. You're in a Bible study and you hear the facilitator. That's Satan, by the way. Satan facilitated in the garden. God doesn't facilitate. Facilitation means to make change easy, which means you go through the flesh. No, you hear I feel and I think and how do you feel and what do you think in light of God's word? No, his word you know. My people destroyed for lack of knowing. How do you know? He told you. It's like you, the parent telling you, you can't go out. Now you know. And then they look in the eye, comprehending. Do you understand what I just said? Yes, you understood what they just said. You had better obey. Trust and obey. That's the message of a patriarchal paradigm. We'll pick up on the other side of these messages. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and read the latest article, Civil Disobedience. I go into great depth on this dialectical process. We'll continue on the other side of these messages.